Morning. I'd like to call the Mobile Source Committee meeting to order for July 26. The roll call, please.
On the roll for the Mobile Source Committee meeting of July 26, 2018, Director Abe Koga, Director Cutter, present. Director Groom, Director Hudson,
here.
Director Ju,
here.
Director Kim, Director Miley, Director Mitchell,
here.
Director Sparing, Committee Vice Chair Canepa,
here.
Committee Chair Haggerty,
here.
We have a quorum.
Please join Director Canepa in the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you.
Jeez. I think he forgot the words. We're going to get it. You know, I think we should all go to San Mateo and see how they do it. All right. You all right?
I'm all right.
Good. Public meeting procedure. Approval of the minutes for May. What the heck is that? Let me just look at some. Okay. All right. Approval of the minutes for May 24.
Move the approval of the minutes.
Moved by my vice chair, seconded by the chair of the organization. Is there any objection to the motion?
No.
Motion. Thank you. Motion passed without objection. Item 3.
Good morning, Chair Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Good morning.
Good morning. So this is the sort of what represents the last meeting for the end of the fiscal year ending 2018. So for that reason, you're going to see a lot of projects come through. Walking us through this presentation will be Yuzhang Liu with the Strategic Incentives Division. And he'll be presenting recommendations for items requesting over $100,000, as well as one request for a waiver for the town of Los Gatos, which will be explained during Yuzhang's presentation. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee. Today, I will present agenda item number 3, which is the consideration for approval of projects with grant awards over $100,000 and a request for waiver for 2018 TFCA regional fund policies from the town of Los Gatos. I start by providing some background information, then describe the proposed project and describe the TFCA waiver request and conclude with staff recommendations. The district has participated in the Karma Grant Program since it was created in 1998. The program is voluntary and aims to reduce emission reduction from heavy-duty diesel engines. The program is jointly administered by the California Air Resources Board and local air districts. It provides funding to both private and public entities. The Mobile Source Incentive Fund, which is the district funding source authorized by Assembly Bill 923, which allows the district to collect an additional $2 DMV registration fee. This fund can be used for eligible Cal Moya grant program and lower emission school bus program projects. The Community Health Protection Grant Program, authorized by Assembly Bill 134, appropriate $250 million from the Greenhouse Gas Reduction Fund to reduce mobile source emission in area identified as part of the Community Health Protection Program. $50 million in funding was allocated to the Air District funded under Cal Moya Program and the Goods Movement Program projects. The Transportation Fund for Clean Air, or TFCA, is authorized by state legislature and set forth in the California Health and Safety Code. The TFCA funding is generated through a $4 DMV surcharge on motor vehicle register in Bay Area. 60% of this fund is awarded directly by the Air District, and the remaining 40% is forwarded to designated congestion management agencies in each county. On March 1st, 2017, the District Board of Directors approved participation in year 19 of the Cal Moya Grant Program and authorize the executive officer to execute contracts and grant agreements with grant awards up to $100,000. On December 20th, 2017, the District Board of Directors approve acceptance of $50 million in AP 134 funding for the Community Health Protection Grant Program. For consideration today, are 7 Cal Moya projects, which will replace 8 school buses, 5 transit buses, 9 pieces of agricultural equipment, and 1 piece of off-road equipment, for a proposed allocation of about $2.45 million. This project will reduce about 3.9 tons of criteria pollutant per year. More information about this project can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. This chart represents the current cycle of Cal Moya program funding allocated as of July 6, 2018, including the projects being considered today. The chart shows allocation broken down by equipment category and by county. The funding allocated for these projects is about $28.2 million. More information regarding this project can be found in Attachment 2 of the staff report. These next charts represent the total Cal Moya program funding allocated since 2009. Similar to previous charts, these charts are broken down by equipment category and by county for a total of $171 million. On April 19, 2017, the board allocated about $29 million in TFCA funding for eligible projects in fiscal year 2018 and authorized the executive officer to execute contracts and contracts and amendments for projects with grant awards over $100,000. TFCA regional fund policies and evaluation criteria for 2018 were adopted by the board on August 2, 2017. For your consideration today is one TFCA project with an individual grant award over $100,000. This project is sponsored by the town of Los Gatos and would construct and upgrade 2 bikeway segments. The first segment would construct approximately 1/10 of a mile new Class 1 bikeway, and the second segment would upgrade approximately 1/3 of a mile of existing Class 2 bikeway to a Class 4 separated bikeway. The first segment meets all board adopted policies, while the upgrade of the second segment would require a waiver since the 2018 policy do not allow bikeway upgrades. The proposed grant award for this project is $242,000, and it would reduce approximately 0.12 tons of criteria pollutant per year. More information about this project can be found in Attachment 1 of the staff report. As mentioned, the staff is requesting a waiver to allow the byway upgrade section to be considered. Staff reviewed the application and found the proposed byway upgrade would result in quantifiable emission reduction, and the segment meets all other policy requirements. Although byway upgrades were not an allowable project option in prior years, we have received many requests over the years from public agencies to take a closer look at the potential of upgraded byway to reduce emission reduction. In response, staff worked to evaluate upgrades from an unprotected byway to a separated byway. Staff determined that in some cases, this byway upgrade improvement would result in it would attract a meaningful number of drivers to switch to biking and therefore result in quantifiable emission reduction. As a result, staff revised the regional fund policies to allow byway upgrades, and this change was approved by the board in June for fiscal year 2019. In future, byway upgrade, like the project being proposed by the town of Los Gatos, would be eligible for consideration without requiring a waiver. This chart shows TFC funding allocated for 83 eligible projects evaluated since July 2017. These projects represent approximately $12.77 million in rewarded fund. This chart shows allocation broken down by equipment category and by county. Additional information about this project can be found in attachment 4 of the staff report. In conclusion, staff request the committee recommend the board of directors approve Calmoy grant and transportation fund for clean air projects with proposed grant award over $100,000. Approve a policy waiver to allow the town of Los Gatos to be eligible for consideration for the fiscal year 2018 TFCA regional fund for a bikeway improvement project that will upgrade an existing Class 2 bicycle lane to a separated Class 4 bikeway, and authorize the executive officer to enter into agreement with applicants for the recommended projects. This concludes my presentation. We're happy to answer any questions you may have.
Well, thank you for that very concise report. First of all, are there any speakers on the item? Questions of staff? Chair Hudson and then Vice Chair Mitchoff.
I'm looking at the TFC funds award for next to last page, and it says $12.77 million out of $29.24. Can I assume that the remaining money that we allocated for the 29.4 goes back for the next, which starts when?
Right, so those funds are still in the process of being let out. For example,
okay.
We have some solicitations that are still currently open, but you're absolutely right. We now, as of July 1st, will start letting out the fiscal year ending 19 funds, and these will just sort of roll in based on the allocations that were approved by the board last year. So they'll just continue in their same tracks.
Director Mitchoff.
Thank you. I support the waiver and realize the timing is close. Do you have an idea of how many we were not able to fund, or maybe I'm not stating that right. Were there any applications that came in, let's say in the last two or three years, that had bikeway, and because they didn't meet that portion of the criteria, is it appropriate to ask staff to just reach out to them to let them know that fiscal year ending 19, the policy has changed, that if they didn't get funding, so that they could reapply? Maybe they're already aware of that, but I assume this was the only one that came in fiscal year ending 18 that needed the waiver, but I don't know if fiscal year, you know, maybe going back to 15, 16, and 17, maybe the last 3 years that there's projects out there, if you could relook at those, I think that might be, I want to look at my colleagues and see if that's an appropriate time frame and if they concur.
We'd certainly be glad to do that. I don't recall that there were other applications that we received that were like that. Typically, the ones that we received that were rejected, it was because they didn't meet the cost-effectiveness requirements, but I think that's a good point because there won't be that many, so it would be easy to go back and take a look at that.
Thank you very much. And again, we're going to be doing our outreach because maybe somebody didn't apply because they read
the
rules and realized, oops, this one won't match it, but okay,
absolutely.
Thank you.
Anybody else looking for a motion?
I'll move the item.
Second. Thank you. I have a motion and a second. Is there any objection to the motion? Motion passes without objection. Item 4.
Okay, great. So this next item is you've been hearing for the last few months about the Air District's Clean Cars for All program. This is a really exciting program that it's new to us. It's something that the counties the air districts of San Joaquin and South Coast have been able to participate in for nearly 3 years now. So we've been waiting for legislative changes and approval from ARB to be able to participate. Last meeting, you heard a lot about the program, and today Tin Lee will be leading us through a presentation to request approval for a contract for a case manager that will be helping to provide really direct hands-on support to participants of this program. Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Karen. Good morning, Chair Hagerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Good morning.
Today, I'll present Agenda Item 4, which is the consideration for approval of the contract for case managers for Clean Cars for All. I'll begin with a quick overview of Clean Cars for All, which is a new clean transportation incentive program that's focused in disadvantaged communities. I'll talk a little bit about the request for proposals that we released earlier this year to help us identify and select case managers. And I'll talk a little bit about the evaluation process and the results that we had, and as well as staff's recommendation. So earlier this year in March, we signed an agreement with the California Air Resources Board that gave us $5 million in funding for Clean Cars for All. So the incentive program provides funding for low-income residents in environmentally disadvantaged communities to turn in their older, dirtier vehicles and replace it with one of two options. The first option is the advanced technology option. So they can scrap their vehicle and replace it by purchasing or leasing a hybrid, a plug-in, or an electric vehicle that's 8 years old or newer. Consumers also have the option to get alternative transportation options through the Clipper card, and we're looking at ways to expand that into bike sharing, car sharing, and van pooling and other options. We're looking at doing a soft launch later this year and expand it fully early next year. For the replacement options, you'll see that the incentive amounts are tiered based on income and based on the replacement options. To be eligible, applicants have to fall within 400% of the federal poverty level. Applicants who select the EV option will also be eligible for $2,000 towards charging equipment. And we understand that charging is going to be a big issue, and it's going to help us meet our EV adoption goals. And so for situations where applicants are in multi-dwelling units and they're not able to fully utilize this incentive or get the property managers to put in chargers, we'll link them up with other air district programs like the charge program, and as well as PG&E incentives and any other incentives that are out there. So there are a number of vehicle choices and financing options, and we want applicants to be informed and have advocates who will support them throughout the process. We're going to do targeted outreach. We're going to have workshops and mailers that target low-income residents in disadvantaged communities. We will provide education about advanced automotive technologies, recalls, battery warranties, consumer protections, and vehicle maintenance. Throughout the process, we're going to provide support for the application submission, vehicle selection, and financial literacy. We'll partner with financial institutions such as community banks and set interest rate caps so that our applicants can have low-cost loans. We believe that the consumer protection is a very important aspect of this program. We're going to have strict guidelines with our partner dealerships, and we'll connect applicants with organizations that offer credit counseling support and systems to protect consumer data and personal information.
What do you mean by strict guidelines with partner dealerships?
So some of the guidelines that we'll have are, for example, for used vehicles, dealerships
Did
that
you
have,
say new or used? I'm sorry.
For used vehicles.
Used.
Yeah. So we'll have it so that they can only have no haggle prices. That way, they're not, increasing prices because someone comes in with an incentive. And there are other restrictions such as that we'll put in there. So, for example, we don't want dealers to take kickbacks from brokers who refer people to them, things like that, just to protect.
So while we've been actually excluded from this program, this has allowed us to observe what's happened at South Coast and San Joaquin. It has also allowed the Air Resources Board to do that. And some of these things and the protections that are put in are mandated by the guidelines that come from them. And some of them come from the experience that other air districts have had in implementing this program. Obviously, I think we all remember when we started to do retrofits for trucks and suddenly retrofit prices jumped up. The idea here is that we are providing those consumer protections and we're watching and monitoring to make sure that folks are not getting ripped off or prices are not being inflated as part of the process here, both on the car side and on the EVSC, the power supply side. And that's important because this is the first step in this program. This is our pilot. We would eventually, I think, like to put some of our own TFCA dollars into this. So we want to make sure and expand it to every region in the air district. So we want to make sure that it's functioning properly as we go forward.
So while I agree with the protections of the kickbacks and all that, I just want, the reason I asked that question is I don't want us to put so many regulatory burdens onto the dealerships that they don't want to do the program.
We'll make sure that we're reporting back to the committee regularly on this program, and we'll let you know if we're seeing those early indications. We've begun that negotiation cycle, and we've got a fairly positive response for the dealers, even with the restrictions we have. So if it becomes an issue, we'll make sure that we're looking for that also.
Okay, so in order to achieve our goals, we're going to need case managers that provide one-on-one assistance to support eligible consumers that apply for our program. The budget for the case managers comes from ARB, and we have, we're allowed to use up to 5% or $250,000 towards contracts to support the program administration. So on April 3rd, we released an RFP, and it closed on May 17th, and we received two applications. So we put together a panel consisting of staff from the Technology Implementation Office, Community Engagement Office, Strategic Incentives Division, and a community member to evaluate the proposals that we received and go through some criteria. So the two applications that we received are from Grid Alternatives and Opus Inspection. And we collectively discussed the applications and scored them based on the following criteria. We looked at the expertise, approach, cost, conflicts of interest, and the organization specialty focus area. I do want to point out that the organization specialty focus area awarded 2.5 points for organizations that were headquartered in our jurisdiction. So they're the local companies. And the other 2.5% went to organizations that were certified green businesses. So Grid Alternatives scored the highest out of both applications, and some of the reasons that their proposal stood out were because that they had expertise working with low-income consumers and disadvantaged communities in the Bay Area. They had a thoughtful approach that included anticipated challenges and mitigation strategies, and their cost proposal included significant cost sharing, which wasn't a requirement of the RFP.
Director Mitchell.
What were the conflicts of interest? What does
so
that mean?
For example, like Grid Alternatives, their conflicts of interest were that they were working on similar programs, they were supporting similar programs. So they're working to help support beneficial state foundation. They have a
so basically they have other
like similar
fingers in the same pie for others.
Yeah.
So my concern is when we say conflicts of interest, it works against the Air Board, but I'm assuming you mean it doesn't work against our Air Board. It's just they're busy doing other stuff. How much time will they have to devote or? I just, that's, when I see conflicts of interest, it's the politician in me, you know, what.
So one would be conflicts that would obviously take them away from working for us, but also you don't want a situation where this company, you know, brings, represents dealerships and tries to bring people to the table for dealerships to sell cars to. Those are the types of things that we're looking for because, again, the focus is on that consumer protection
element. So what is, since you're recommending Grid, excuse me, they got 4.4 out of 5. So what were their conflicts of interest?
Their conflicts of interest were that they were working with other organizations with on similar programs.
Okay, it wasn't that they're bringing dealerships, because to me that isn't a conflict. That's, you know, what goes against the strict guidelines that Director Haggerty
was. It's kind of hard to describe that in an RFP in a fashion that allows you to, you know, score for and against.
Thank you.
To
Director Canepa.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. You know, looking at how this is scored, we look at the approach and the cost, and there's a big difference between those two. And when you look at the total scoring, can you tell me a little bit again what the approach is, and how you scored the cost, and what was the price differential?
Okay, so the approach for each organization was different. For example, Opus Inspection, their approach was, so that company is a company that works on remote sensing, and that's their main focus. So they set up, they worked with San Joaquin's program, and they set up stations where people could bring their vehicles, and they would remote test their vehicles and test the emissions. And so that was one of their approaches, was that they would use that kind of model. And for Grid Alternatives, their model was to do outreach and do workshop events and build on existing programs that they had. And also, so Grid Alternatives is the largest nonprofit that focuses on solar. And so they have already a lot of experience working in with grant programs. So they are they're building off of what they already do, and so some of the programs that relate to solar can also relate to, you know, EV infrastructures. For example, when they do solar upgrades, they might have to do upgrades to the panels and stuff like that. So then at the same time, if they're putting in chargers, they can do it all together. So you know, I think their approach, and they talked a lot about kind of the challenges that they have with their programs and ways that they've worked around to resolve those issues. So, and then as far as cost goes, the costs were pretty similar. The budget for this was $250,000, and they were both pretty similar. The only difference was that Grid Alternatives included $144,000 in cost sharing. So their basic point was that they're doing a ton of outreach already, and it, when they do outreach for solar projects and other projects, they can do outreach for us at the same time. So that's why we scored them a little bit higher for that. Okay.
Proceed.
Okay, so we're still working on a lot of the components of this program. The application system, we've talked to some software vendors, and we put out an RFP to look for a vendor that would best fit our needs. If we get approval for the case managers, we will work with them to develop an operations manual and kind of work on strategizing the outreach plan and the workshops. We're still working with dealers and scrappers and alternative transportation partnerships, and we're still talking to some financial institutions to get our partnerships all aligned and ready to go.
Hold on a second.
Sure.
Cutter.
Hi, thank you. When you're talking about outreach, one of the things that we were discussing just in our city is that we have pockets of employers that we know have a lot of low-income workers because they're at minimum wage, and they're talked to us before we raised it to minimum wage. So, and then if you look in their parking lots, you can see a lot of the vehicles that we're talking about wanting to be replaced and so forth. So if you can include maybe information to the city's community business or something like that, then maybe we can get this out to those specific employers that we already offer, Link Shuttle and things like that, too, that might help.
Absolutely.
It's an idea. Thanks.
Yeah. So we have been doing a lot of engagement. We've talked to three of the CCAs, the community choice aggregators in our region. So we talked to Marin, we've talked to Sonoma and Peninsula Clean Energy. So they,
you might want to talk to the largest one in the area.
Yeah, we will.
Call me to county.
We will. We've talked to them because they either have existing programs or they're working on them. So we'll reach out to the other CCAs as well.
One other thing regarding outreach is we understand that you all also have extensive networks in your communities. You know your areas better, much better than we do, and it's our intention to utilize the members of the board and your connections to your community so we can access some of these things. We've also gotten feedback that, you know, we should be working with sustainability coordinators in cities and some of the lower income advocacy groups for housing and other portions of cities and counties. So Tin, I think, was going to get there, but that is one of the things that we want to, we absolutely want to utilize. So as those ideas come forward and as you have some, please forward them onto the staff because we definitely want to do that outreach.
So do you have a list of counties' sustainability people, or should we be getting that kind of information?
No, we have all of that. I think one
that's
of the
all,
things...
That's all. Thank you.
Yeah, and social services. So one of the things that we want to do is, once this launches, we'll come back and talk specifically about the outreach component, because that's a key to making this successful.
Chair Haggerty, can I make
it? Go ahead.
I was going to save this for the end, but I think the outreach is definitely important, and I think going forward there's this great opportunity, right? Because for some it's still not going to make financial sense for people in these households to install like individual charging, right? So the data and the information sharing between the cities and also the private sector and the charging sector of like where these opportunities are, where there's interest, I think there's a great area for collaboration. Because if you find like there's an area where there's a lot of interest but maybe people don't take advantage of this program, it may be great information for someone like VW or another entity that's installing charging to say, oh, well, maybe this is an area we should look at in terms of installing like a publicly accessible charging station on the curb or something. So we really want to encourage that as we think about outreach going forward with the program and as you're reporting back. So,
So we also did two focus groups, and one of them was in English and one of them was in Spanish. And so we're going to continue doing this engagement and this outreach. And so I do look forward to working with you and your staff and identifying, you know, any areas that you want us to touch. So in conclusion, staff requests that the committee recommend the Board of Directors to authorize the executive officer to execute a contract with Grid Alternatives not to exceed $250,000 for case managers to support the Clean Cars for All program. And I'm happy to answer any other questions that you may have.
Any other questions?
Make the motion for approval.
Okay, I have a motion in a second, but I did want to say something. So when you start looking for dealerships to work with, you know, a lot of the counties have, maybe even the cities, but, you know, the counties certainly have entered into agreements with a lot of the dealerships in the areas too. So you might want to try to piggyback off of some of those deals that the counties and the cities have already dealt with, you know, made deals with, even though I think you're looking at more used cars, right? Yeah.
The focus is probably going to be more on used vehicles.
Yeah.
So,
but I'll reach out. Look at some of the partnerships that have already been established.
I'll reach out to some of the fleet managers.
Some of the
like
fleet
Philip
managers.
Kobenick,
yeah.
So through our electric vehicle program and through all of the multiple TFCA programs, we have connections obviously to Alameda County and many of the other counties, and we do know that through their fleet procurement processes, they work together and get bulk discounts from dealers. So that's something else that we're looking into. So we'll reach out to the city and county fleet managers, and we'll also go through, I think we can do outreach to our clean cities, which is kind of where they all congregate, so that we're making sure that we know who they're using.
And then would it be too difficult to reach out? I mean, there are historically jobs that are lower income jobs. Trying to think. I mean, it's more like the retail jobs, fast food jobs. It's more the service industry type jobs. I mean, is there a way that we could kind of reach out to those? I mean, I realize that's a very difficult undertaking. Yeah. I would ask you to think about that.
Yeah.
Maybe reaching out to the corporate headquarters. For those entities, for example, the corporate headquarters of, say, the fast foods, and asking them to in turn reach out to their employees. If they do it or not, well, we've certainly done our job, but you know, it's just another way to reach out.
Let us look at that and let us come back to you.
I know that's difficult.
Yeah, with our outreach plan. We might be able to do it through our employer program or our commuter benefits program. That might be one avenue of access, or through our Spare the Air program.
Yeah, it's a good idea. You know who they are through the commuter benefits program,
exactly.
Correct?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
So I think our next presentation on this particular item would be to come back and talk to you specifically about outreach as we launch the program itself.
Okay.
So give us some time to work on that, and we'll take this as direction. Okay. To explore those ideas.
And I believe I had a motion in a second. It was to my left. Okay. Is there any objection to the motion? The motion passes without objection. Move to item 5.
So agenda item 5 today is something that we're very excited about. It's not very often that the state of California comes into $400 million in revenue and penalties, and it's extremely rare that those funding would then be designated to be administered by local air districts. There are a number of elements to this particular process. As I said, we're excited about it. Karen will lead you through the first portion of the presentation, and then I'm going to come back at the end and talk to you a little bit about how we plan to staff and administer the program in the context of the overall staffing of the agency. So, Karen?
Great. Thank you, Damien. And good morning again, Chair Haggerty and members of the Mobile Source Committee.
Good morning again.
So this, as Damien mentioned, it's a very exciting lots of opportunities with this presentation, so we're excited to present this to you. I'll be discussing the new funding that Damien alluded to, as well as discussing some of the other funding that we've received recently since we last presented, I believe in February, when we told the Mobile Source Committee about the funding that we would have projected for this year. That also does lead to additional workload, so we are asking for additional staffing, so increase in headcount to be able to manage this work. So that'll I'll conclude with recommendations. So I'll just jump in as soon as. Okay, so we're going to have slides here in a moment, but as soon as the slides come up, one of the things that I'd like to talk to you about is the VW settlement. So you may have been hearing about VW settlement for several years. I believe it started in 2015 when VW finally did admit that there was some wrongdoing on their part. There are billions of dollars that are flowing nationally as a result of that settlement agreement. A significant portion of that funding will come to the state of California. There are three parts to the settlement agreement. There is a part that is already underway, which has to do with, and I believe Director Ju was alluding to that earlier, which is installation of electric vehicle charging stations. So that was the first portion. It's $800 million that will come to the state of California. It's going to be doled out in four rounds, so $200 million in each round. The first round, again, is going to build an extensive electric vehicle charging network. And then the later rounds will augment that network, but also provide potentially other kinds of opportunities for electric vehicle charging, which we hope also will be implemented in the heavy-duty sector as well, so school buses, transit, and other applications. There's another part of that funding which will provide benefit to individuals who actually own diesel vehicles, right? So they're going to be dealing directly to receive funding to help change out their vehicles or take out the faulty parts. What I'm going to be focusing on today is another part, which is enumerated in the consent decree as Appendix D. It is $423 million that will come to the state of California. There's additional funding that's going to other states. In the consent decree, there are very specific requirements about how the funding can be used. Most of this funding really focuses on scrap and replace projects for the heavy-duty sector. And because we're in California, we also layer on this Senate Bill 92 requirement, which at least 35% of the funding will need to go to low-income or disadvantaged communities. So in terms of California's mitigation plan, so one of the requirements was that the state of California, the Air Resources Board, was designated as the beneficiary. So the state of California was required to come up with a beneficiary plan, which they adopted on May 28th of this year. There were many stakeholder workshops that were held in 2017 and 2018. It was a long process to kind of round out some of the requirements that were initially laid out in the consent decree. But what we understand at this point is a plan that will require 10 years of oversight, or a minimum of 10 years of oversight. The funds are going to be let out in different installments, and I'll be talking about that a little bit more in a moment. But the idea is that for each mitigation action, what I'll refer to as project categories, there are separate requirements and separate timelines. We estimate that as much as 30% of the funding will come to the Bay Area district. We're going to be working on that. What does that look like? That means that approximately $130 million potentially could flow through our district in the next 4 to 10 years. Also, this program, because it has all of these requirements, it has a higher administrative amount than what is typical in most grant programs. So 15% or $63 million has already been reserved by ARB. So for that reason, there's only about $360 million that's available for project direct implementation. And one of the things that's unique about this plan is that ARB has gone ahead and decided that they would like these solicitations to be administered on a statewide basis by the three largest air districts. So I'll be discussing that here. So they have already assigned which air district would be potentially leading each solicitation. And so I talked about these are the mitigation actions. There's five of them. And an easier way to think about them is project categories. And the reason they're called mitigation actions is because the idea is that based on the rules, there are targets for how much NOx emissions would be reduced by each project category or mitigation action. So we think of these as individual buckets, and ARB really wants the funds to stay within each bucket, although ultimately there is some flexibility if for some reason one program is oversubscribed and another is undersubscribed. They have also assigned how much funding is allocated to each project category, and again, that has to do with the target emissions reduction, or the NOx emissions reductions for each project category, and I mentioned the lead air district, so the ones that have been assigned to Bay Area Air District would potentially be zero emission freight and marine projects, which mainly would be targeting port communities, and also the zero emission vehicle infrastructure program, which provides funding for both electric vehicle infrastructure as well as hydrogen infrastructure.
Can I ask a question?
Absolutely.
So why did we get $80 million and South Coast get 150, San Joaquin gets 130.
Yeah.
So I feel like we got cheated. So maybe you're going to tell me that there's another category coming out that we scored high on.
No,
I feel a little hosed at this point.
What I'm going to tell you is that this is who's leading the solicitation. So we want to think about this more like who's going to be doing the work to send out the emails and make the website and get the applications and review them. This isn't where the money is going. So we indicated that we would like as much as 30% of the funding to come to the Air District. Now, we recognize that it'll be lumpy. For example, we envision that the Bay Area Air District might actually do very well in the bus category, which is the first one, because we have a lot of interest from our transit districts and potentially from our school districts, hopefully by the time these funds are let out. So when we talk about who's leading these solicitations, it's not who's eligible for the funding, it's who will be managing the work to run the solicitation on a statewide basis.
So Karen, if I could add there, think about this as joint administration. It doesn't matter who's in each category. The funding is going to flow throughout the state to where the applications are. Essentially, the three air districts are managing this together. So we're going to have common elements. We're going to have common outreach, common web services, common application services. We are all three administrators. So the pot of funding that we're eligible to get is $360 million total. And we're expecting, as Karen said, to get about a third of that. So the application process is completely open statewide. Because South Coast administers the Class 8 freight and drayage port trucks, that doesn't mean that our port trucks are not going to get a substantial amount of that money, because they will.
So basically what you're saying
Director is... Director Mitchoff.
I'm sorry. What you're saying is this is the project funding, and so in the example, San Joaquin is managing $130 million of the program.
Correct.
That's but correct.
They'll be looking at the applications. They'll be responsible for the outreach on a statewide basis. That doesn't mean that we can't do additional outreach in our district, but they're responsible on a statewide basis. And maybe another way of looking at this also is ARB has many solicitations that they run. Most of the solicitations that they run are already run on a statewide basis. So, for example, you may be familiar with the California Vehicle Rebate Project, which provides the $2,500 if you buy an electric vehicle. That is administered on a statewide basis by a nonprofit called Center for Sustainable Energy. So in this case, we are like the sustainable
community-based organization that's managing $130 worth of grant funds. My question going, it doesn't matter, the decision's been made, and I get why we have freight and marine projects. I have two questions. This is the first one. Why did they give San Joaquin transit school and shuttle buses? It seems to me that we're busier South Coast. Okay, you're shaking your head. There's no answer to that question.
No answer to that question. We made that point quite strongly to them, and this is how it broke.
And then my second question is, you mentioned that, okay, there's $800 million coming to California. 400 of it is going for infrastructure.
No, those are two different pots. Oh. There's $800 million that's coming to California, and that is being managed by an organization that is essentially VW called Electrify America.
And they're the ones doing the infrastructure, setting up the charging stations?
Yeah, they're running that program, and that's $800 million that will come to California, and that's on its own track.
I see, okay.
This is a separate consent decree that provides $423 million additional dollars.
So what is the light-duty zero-emission vehicle infrastructure? Is that where we see holes?
Or yes, exactly.
The criteria is, as we manage that program, grant applications can come in, and so VW made a decision that this worked best, but oops, we think there should be one here. So that's what that infrastructure?
That's right. There are rules about that. About 5 million of that will go to EV, and the other half goes to hydrogen infrastructure. And in both cases, you're absolutely right. The real emphasis of that is to fill in gaps throughout the state to help build out the network. So there's a lot of money in the state. There's the other $800 million through VW, all of the utilities, including PG&E, but Southern California Edison and San Diego Gas and Electric, they all have their own electrification programs that are going on, air districts and others. So these are fill the gaps, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
Okay, any other questions on this before?
Actually,
this is great.
I'll handle that. Director Jim.
Yeah, and to also answer Director Mitchoff's question, you know, Electrify America gets to select where they install their charging stations. So this is kind of a pot of money that the air districts will get to decide, like, where the charging stations will go to hopefully fill in those gaps, since we don't get to control that pot of funding.
That's right. Okay.
Move on.
Great. So moving on. So this is a really fast-moving program, and we're going to be providing regular updates to this committee as we learn more. You'll be hearing in a moment that we've learned some recent updates in terms of what our obligations are. Again, this is a very recent approval, and information is going to be coming. We're going to be learning a lot more just over the next few months and years. But in terms of the timeline, I mentioned that to get to the beneficiary plan, there were many stakeholder workshops happening in 2017 and 2018. The next step is that if the board approves the Air District's participation or the Bay Area Air District's participation in this program, we would be working to contract with ARB to, as Damien, and then also work on memorandums of understanding with the other two air districts that we would be joint administrators of the statewide program. We anticipate that that would happen sometime in the September timeframe. So later this year, once those contracts are in place, the first step would be to open stakeholder workshops for each of these buckets. And so some of those might happen on the same day or in the same week. Some of these might, because imagine that they'll be happening throughout the state. And so we're going to be taking the show on the road for all of these different buckets and trying to solicit more stakeholder input to finalize the guidelines for each of these categories. And then the solicitations would open. There's also a lot of other kinds of work, administrative work that has to happen behind the scenes. We would need to build a production system to be able to manage the applications and the projects once they're awarded. We would need to do extensive outreach to let everybody know that this funding is available. We also would need a website, again, to promote and other kinds of materials. So there's a lot of work that would have to happen behind the scenes. So for that reason, we believe that most likely the funding won't be opening up until early 2019. Some categories might be easier to open than others. And so we wouldn't necessarily see all the categories open at the same time. Also, the consent decree and the beneficiary plan require that some of the solicitations be competitive, whereas others, for example, the bus and truck, are on a first-come, first-served basis. So that also will flavor the kind of solicitation and the timing for it for each one. The projects, we're hoping that projects would start to be awarded sometime in mid-2019. At that point, we would start to know at least through the first round, how much funding was provided to Bay Area businesses and agencies. The consent decree, again, and the beneficiary plan require that there be multiple installments or rounds of giving out the money. So all of the money won't be let out all at once. So we'll need to do this solicitation, stakeholder feedback workshop all over again sometime in late 2019 or 2020, so that in development of the next rounds of funding for the projects that we're responsible for. So for that reason, we think that the funding will be let out sometime between 4 to 6 years. Although the administration of the program will need to happen over the course of a minimum of 10 years. And so you see that here in the 2019-2030 timeframe, which is where the project reporting and oversight and records retention process will be happening. So we'll all be here to celebrate in 2030 all of the funding that came through. So I'm about to...
Question.
Well, yes.
Really quick question. So, will there be a point as you're developing the guidelines where the air districts or the boards will have to adopt those guidelines and kind of, I mean, when does that come back to us as far as?
Right. So, they're not technically required to be approved by the districts. I believe ARB will be approving them, but we certainly can bring regular updates to this committee. To report on the kinds of feedback that we've received and sort of what the thinking is in terms of what the solicitations would look like, not only for the ones that the Air District, the Bay Area Air District, would be administering, but the ones that are being also administered by the other air districts, so that board members can get a sense of kind of the direction for all of the different project categories.
One of the things that's significantly different about this is because it's part of a stipulated settlement, there are things that the court have dictated that we must do. So that will dictate a lot of what's in the guidelines. But as Karen says, we're happy to bring them back and go in depth and show you what we labour under. Don't expect that to be a very exciting conversation, because we're expecting a packet about this thick from the Air Resources Board.
Okay, so earlier I mentioned that in February we came and discussed with the Mobile Source Committee what funding was projected for fiscal year ending 2019. So at that time, we estimated that there would be about $100 million available to the Bay Area District in fiscal year ending 2019. Since then, we've received numerous awards. I'll be going over the whole list. You heard about some of those in the last couple of meetings. But one that came in just since the last meeting in May was an award from the US EPA for diesel emission reduction grant, also referred to as DERA. And so we often receive DERA grants. We've received many over the years, and this is the latest. It's an award of approximately $1.2 million. The point of DERA is to help accelerate emissions reductions, in particular in communities that have disproportionately higher impacts of air pollution, and also projects that are in goods movement service. So this particular project, we applied for a project that will be essentially replacing six non-road material handling pieces of equipment. One of those is going to be replaced with a zero-emission electric unit, and five are going to be replaced with Tier 4, which is the cleanest available diesel technology for projects that are operating in goods movement service. The project is highly cost effective, and again, it's going to provide benefits directly in two highly impacted communities. So these would be Richmond and Hayward. And
Director Mitchell.
Thank you. I want to make sure I'm on the same page.
Yes.
So you just talked about the VDUB,
yep.
ARB,
yep.
All that.
Yes.
Because, you know, when I see what this is regarding, then I see increased staffing.
Yes.
But you've got an EPA grant.
Yes.
Are they aren't these two separate actions?
They are. There are two
one
actions.
One doesn't relate to the other
right.
than making clean air.
Right. So the action today, I'll
this
just maybe go to this directly. So the action that we're discussing today essentially is three things. Mm-hmm. The first one is to accept the new funding that we know about. So for VW, we estimate it'll be as much as $130 million. That's what we know as of today. As that changes, we'll come back.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you here
yes.
because we've got it here, and I know what the staff is recommending. This basically is an administrative report asking for administrative executive or committee approval that will go to the full board. To let you as administrators do these three things,
correct.
But they aren't related other than we're all going to have good clean air out of the whole thing.
Correct. There are two different pots of funding. They both need to be accepted.
And I get that.
Yeah.
I just didn't know why they weren't two separate agenda items.
They could have been, yes.
All right.
They could
that's
have been.
Why I
yes.
wanted to make sure I understood that, because when you're telling us about this new grant program where we're going to administer statewide, what was it, $70 million, and then I see increased staffing, I'm wondering, is that the positions needed to do that work? And it
yes.
doesn't. To do the administration of the grant?
Of yes, so for the VW, we're
I'm
not
sorry,
specifically.
It just didn't make sense.
We're not specifically.
I know, but
actually,
all right, fine.
I'm going to do this presentation a little bit out of order. Actually, because I think this is
Karen, just keep rolling as it is.
I get your confusion because
yeah.
it is two different things.
Actually,
this is three different things.
Yes, it's three.
Three.
It's
right.
Yes.
So it's kind of weird the way you're doing this.
It's okay.
We'll take that as direction
yep.
for the future.
That
we'll make
weird.
Sure to separate them. Yeah.
So this slide, what it does is maybe taking a step back. So the Air District has various pots that you heard about in presentation number three, which is sort of our traditional funding, the Transportation Fund for Clean Air, the MSIF, and the Carl Moyer Program. So these are funding sources that are available. They have very long-term approvals. TFCA has no sunset date.
We get
yes.
all that.
Can I go back to this last slide? Was that done through a competitive process?
The DERA grant?
Yes.
Yes, it is a competitive process.
Okay. Because, I mean, you're saying that you're doing these, but you're not telling us who got the money. Or who's getting the money to do it? You're just saying
we're getting the money,
huh?
We are
the
administrator.
You're saying the funding to replace
yeah.
six non-road material handler operating in Richmond and Hayward in goods movement services with zero emissions electric.
Yeah.
It's kind of like stealth to me. Well, I might be okay. missing something. I leaned over yeah. to Knapp and I said, it's sneaky sneak. It's kind of sneaky sneak.
I think we are happy to give you the full details of that project. The DIRA program is competitive on a national basis. We don't say when it opens. We don't say when it closes. We apply for it with projects from all portions of the Bay Area. For example, the last four DIRA competitions were won by projects at the Port of Oakland. Generally, there's a requirement that a lot of these projects be in goods movement service. So this was a project that we worked on this year.
If you might see the confusion of the committee, and maybe it's just might be just the three of us, but you're talking to us about the VW. All of a sudden, you slide into DIRA. Then you hit a sneaky sneak slide where you're saying there's a little bit of money going out to somebody, and now you're sliding over to something else. So it's just kind of a weird presentation for us.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Mr. Chairman, let me step in, because what I think the staff tried to do here is we all of a sudden are the recipient of a bunch of new money that came in.
Oh, we get that.
And after the budget was adopted just recently by you all, actually, it was last month. And so it isn't something that we would have wanted to do it this way. Let me say it that way. Because we just went through a very comprehensive budget process where we look at all of our revenue, we look at all the recommendations for you, and we had that hearing. And then all of a sudden, these things start to come to the district. And we realize this is a lot of money. And in order to be able to spend this money on the time frame they want us to, we're going to ask you to augment the staff.
And we're okay with that.
It should have been separate.
Agreed. And I think what happened is, as we were piecing this package together, it all kind of said, we got to put it all together as quick as possible. We thought that it might make more sense if we lumped all the new money together, but clearly not. So we will separate it in the future. We get that. We'll do that.
It's like, ta-da, we got more money.
I know. One is VW, one
money's
is Vera.
Money's good.
Yeah.
So, okay, go ahead.
Okay, so
no good deed goes unpunished.
Yeah.
So
this slide, what we've attempted to do is, Jack mentioned that, you know, we previously mentioned the funds that we knew would be coming in February, and then those funds were adopted as part of the budget, I believe, in May and June. And then just at the end of May, as well as just a couple weeks ago, we found out about the VW and now the DIRA money just 2 weeks ago. So what I've done in this slide is sort of list out all of the funds. The first one, two, three, four, five are funding that we have already brought to this committee in the last, say, 6 months to tell you about these funds that were coming, but I've listed them all here. So these are in addition to our traditional sources, the TFCA, the Carmore, these and some other awards that we were previously awarded in prior years that we're still spending out this year. Typically, these kinds of programs have multi-years to spend the funds. We estimate that these projects will take at least 2 years to spend. So these six funding sources, they represent about $10 million, but you see that it's $5 million here because we're only thinking that half of it will be booked in fiscal year ending 2019. The other $5 million will be part of our budget in fiscal year ending 2020. So this is where you see it all kind of come together. So we see TFCA. We see other, which I just discussed. This is half of the $10 million that's booked for fiscal year 2019. MSIF and Carl Moyer, these are our traditional funding sources. They equal about $52 million. We also recently were awarded a year ago funding $50 million that will be spent, like Carl Moyer, for the Assembly Bill 134, which is in support of Assembly Bill 617. So that's an additional $50 million. So that equals about $102 million that we more or less knew we would be working on this year. Because of the VW funding, that's going to add an additional $30 million, we think, this fiscal year. So for that reason,
we brought this item to request the additional staffing. And so what this chart shows is the full-time equivalent positions that are approved for the Strategic Incentives Division. There are 22 positions currently that are approved. We've been working to fill all of these. But what it means is that if we look on a staff basis, each staff person on average is administering about $5 million of funding. So we have about 20 staff that are involved in this process, including myself and our administrative secretary. They're each managing on average. Some projects are bigger than others, but it's about $5 million. What we see now is with this additional $30 million through the VW settlement, that we're requesting six additional staff for the Strategic Incentives Division. What that will do is basically get us ready to manage these funds when they come through. There is some work that would need potentially to happen kind of starting right away. There's meetings with ARB and the other districts that will begin as soon as we have approval. And again, the work would need to happen starting this year. So for that reason, we're here today. We also, and this is something that is in addition to the staff report that is before you. So since the time that the staff report was submitted, through some discussions with ARB, we've also learned that we're going to need some additional resources in other parts of the organization. And this has to do with our inspection staff and also with our finance team. So I'm going to, at this point, turn it over to Damien, who will do some additional discussion on this topic.
Can we put up the next slide, please? Mercy. As we spoke about it at the beginning of the meeting, as Jack said in his comments, you know, it's very unusual for us to come to you in a out of a budget cycle to talk to you about adding additional staffing. I want to reiterate that you know, this is a fairly unusual opportunity. But we did think that because we have four members of our Budget and Finance Committee here with us today, that we would present a similar presentation as we do to our Budget and Finance Committee when we add staffing. So what you see here in front of you are the listings of the positions, their functions in the organization, and the cost of that. We're confident that the funding that's coming in will cover these costs. And there's some things that you need to know about how we plan to do the staffing. As Karen said, we probably will not hire all these positions initially. We want to get the authorization so we can ramp up quickly. Because this is a 10-year program, once we get the projects in place, it also ramps down on the backside. So one of the ways we plan to manage this is that a lot of the staff will come on at the start. We'll start to ramp off through our normal attrition process, transferring them to other areas. And then as we reach the end of the program, we'll either through attrition or through reassignment, make sure that they have places to go to in the agency itself.
If we can move to the last slide, Mr. Chairman, for just to let you know, we are, because of the unusual nature of the fact that we just adopted a budget and this money is now being made available to us, I want to make sure that we take every opportunity to secure these funds. And if that means being able to, if we have to demonstrate that we have the necessary resources to get these monies out, I want to make sure we can demonstrate that. That being said, the district added some additional staff. And so what I've directed the staff to do is to undertake a comprehensive effort to take a look across all divisions and conduct an audit, if you will. And as Damien mentioned, we're going to evaluate the positions as they become open. And so these grant dollars, as they be made available, they do pay for the staff. Keep that in mind. Ideally, we would like to see more of the administrative fee in the grant itself to cover it, but they do, for the most part, pay. But nevertheless, it does increase our headcount, and that is something that I get, increasingly concerned about. The other thing I wanted to mention to you is that we're evaluating automation and some increased efficiency with regard to the repurposing the headcount as we move them around. This is all being done at the same time we're conducting a salary survey that Dr. Spearing has been insisting upon, and we've said we need to conduct as well. So we're conducting these efforts all kind of at the same time, and you'll see the results of that towards the end of this calendar year. But this morning, of course, what we're asking for is for you all to receive these monies and then also allow us to increase the headcount. In the board package, it says 6, but indeed we're asking for 8 because we looked across and evaluated what we think we need to be able to get these monies received and spent in an expeditious manner. So, Mr. Chairman, that's our presentation.
Thank you, Director Canepa.
Thank you very much, Mr. President. I don't know if this is directed to Jack, Damien, or Karen. So, the recommended action, you talked about $130 million in funding from the Volkswagen Environmental Mitigation. Of that $130 million, how much is going to salaries?
Out of the $130 million, 85% of that potentially would be project funding, and 15% would be So we estimate that there's in terms of actual numbers that we looked at, Director Canepa, to answer your question directly, from the VW settlement, we think we're estimating somewhere between $1.2 and $1.5 million on average. As Damien mentioned, it'll be a little lumpy. It'll be really high in the first couple years, and then maybe in year 8, 9, and 10, it might be lower. So there's a lot of uncertainty around this because we don't know how much will be coming to our area, but we know that at a minimum will be paid for the cost to administer the solicitation. Those are going to be covered costs, and then will be paid on a project-per-project basis based on the work that comes actually to our district. So these are things that are going to happen. We're going to know more about this, but what we want to do is be ready so that we can work very strategically to ensure that as high a percentage of the funding come to our district.
All right. Jack, let me ask you. So we're looking at additional positions, I guess, through AB 617. Tell me right now what our current FTEs are.
Right.
And then, because if we were to look at it, I'm not, I was quoted in the newspaper the other day saying I'm not a rocket scientist, I'm a supervisor.
They said that about you?
No, I said that about myself. But Jack, there seems to be tremendous growth in personnel within this organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious to how you're going to manage all that.
Right. No, it's a great point, Director Canepa. We're up. The budget that you adopted just back in June authorizes a total FTE count of about 396, I believe. Yes. And so this would put it up to 404. Now, we always run about a 10% vacancy rate, roughly, just to give you an idea. So we always truly try to strive to have a full complement, but with retirees and just people moving to different places, we just never seem to be able to get to the full number. That being said, a lot of the growth that we have been experiencing over the last few years has been in this area, has been just a lot of grant dollars. And it turns out, spending money takes a lot of effort. It's not as easy as most folks think, I think, because these dollars, one, have a lot of scrutiny over them, which is understandable. And you have to take steps to ensure that the grant recipients are doing the right thing, right? So we have to be able to be out in the field, make sure that they spent the money so that the trap or the truck or the bus is all in concert with the contract that we entered into. So it's a little bit more than just taking the money and distributing it. It's also all the field work as well. Dr. Canepa, does that make sense? I agree with your point about the growth of the agency. That's why I specifically added kind of these comments towards the end here that I think it's incumbent upon us to start to really take some steps so that we don't continue to grow. Let me just say it that way, be very blunt about it. I think we ought to try to cap ourselves so that we can either repurpose or change some of the descriptions of some of the positions we have inside, and indeed try to look to how we can rely only on the staff resources that we have to get all this done. We can't just keep adding. I don't think that's a smart and right thing to do long term. All of us in the back of our minds think about the 2008 recession that went on, and that was tough. We had a hard time living through that. We relied on attrition to meet it make our way through. So if that occurs again, you know, we don't want to be in a position.
Thanks. I'm glad you addressed that. I think that's where my grave concern is in all of this. So we've had, you know, sustained economic growth over a period over 8 years. And obviously, you know, what goes up must come down. And that's just the cycle of, you know, the U.S. economy over a period of years. So I guess what I would hope, if you come back to us, is that there's a plan to address, a solid plan to address those issues moving forward. Because I can guarantee you, I won't be as on this board as long as Scott Haggerty has, but in 4 or 5 years, I can guarantee you we're going to be having a conversation. And I'll say, you know, Mr. Broadbent, you remember on July 26, 2018, well, you were trying to give me the rope-a-dope. No, I'm just kidding. You know, that we have an issue, a problem. So I just hope that it's addressed now. And so when we deal with this, you know, recession or whatever comes, that we, you know, we're appropriately prepared. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
So if Mr. Chairman, and for the committee, if that's something that you would like to see as direction, I certainly was going to mention this at the full board when this item gets reported out, and that we would undertake this review with the personnel committee. So that, and we can do that, we think, maybe between now and the end of the calendar year and report back to the full board.
It seems to me that maybe the executive committee should look at this air district and like air districts and compare maybe the amount of employees we have to other air districts to see, you know, are we getting a little inflated here, or are we running lean or whatever. But that's up to the chairman of the agency to figure out how he wants to handle this. I think, and I'm going to get to him, but he's way down on the list. I apologize. Seeing your stature doesn't really work here. But I am a little concerned about your answer, because you said 15% would go towards administration, but then you said about 1.3 million, which is about 10%. So right. I don't know what the answer is, and I hope you're more towards 10% than 15%.
So just to address that, so 15% of the total 423, so $63 million, can go towards administrative costs. Some of that, the first 5%, some of that will go to the Air Resources Board to pay for their administrative costs. In addition, Damien mentioned earlier that there are going to be some shared costs among the agencies. So the cost to build a production system for managing all of the data and applications that come through, cost to conduct outreach and workshops, cost to, you know, build a website. So there's going to be some shared costs. Those are going to come off, we think, somewhere between 1% to 5%. So that's why we think that there's about 10% left that would actually be available, potentially more, to actually do the administrative work of managing the projects directly.
So my feeling is it's a shame if we waste a lot of this money on admin before we actually get it to doing the good of cleaning the air. So with that, I'll go to Director Cutter and then Director Miley.
I was going to move the item.
Okay. Can you hold off on the motion? Actually, you can make the motion. Go ahead.
Second.
Okay. I have a motion, a second. Under discussion, Director Miley.
Yeah, thanks. A few things. Various of my questions have been answered based on your responses, because I was wondering, with the staff evaluation process and information that comes out of that, do you want to bring that to personnel or to executive?
I would probably bring it both, Dr. Miley, because it, you know, the exec kind of looks across the entire agency, and personnel, I suspect I'll end up hiring some outside contractors to help.
Okay, so I was just curious where that was going to land, because I think it's important that we take a look at that, you know, because I'm not one to micromanage, but it does sound like the rationale for wanting to bring on additional staff is a sound rationale based on what I'm hearing, so that I have no problem with that. I'm also curious, with all this windfall money that's coming in, can we get a sense of ultimately what we hope to achieve in terms of cleaning up the air, reducing, you know, emissions, kind of what overall as a result of all this money from all these different sources, what do we see happening in the near future and beyond, so we can kind of track that to see whether or not the dollars are actually getting us the type of results we hope to achieve as a result of receiving all these dollars. And then the other piece with the staffing is, mm-hmm. I know Damien mentioned that the folks who are brought on board, they will not lose their positions. We'll use attrition to move them into the agency.
Right.
Can we kind of get a sense of how we see that flowing over the course of time? Because I know you mentioned we've got about 400 employees now. And quite frankly, 400 employees for Alameda County. I mean, we've got 10,000 employees. You're just a department in Alameda County. So can we just kind of get a sense of how you see that playing out over time in terms of the ebb and flow of that?
That's a great point.
And I don't, and once again, it wouldn't come here. It would go to the executive committee or the personnel committee. So those are just some of my thoughts.
Director Miley, on the emission reduction part of it, we'll come back to this committee because we need to see exactly what we're going to be awarded, and when we do all that and how we end up spending that money, we'll be able to quantify comprehensively for the committee what the emission reductions are and indeed how that's moving our program forward. And on the personnel comprehensive review, that's indeed the point you're making is really at the heart of, I think, what we're going to need to do is how do we sit there and make sure that the skill set that the folks that we bring on board can be used in other parts of the agency once these grants then, you know, are spent and we no longer have these programs. We'd like to see them maybe go into enforcement, engineering, other parts of the district.
Yeah, so thanks. Yeah, because I do, once again, the rationale sounds good. I just think we need to kind of map that out and monitor it and see how it's unfolding over the course of time. Because I, too, don't expect to be here as long as Supervisor Haggerty. I'll probably be a bit longer, though.
I guess the rest of you can get a job. I can't. Director Mitchoff.
Thank you. I have a much better understanding, but as a member of Budget and Finance, and I appreciate, Mr. Broadbent, you're going to be explaining this because, as we know, our full board is going to be watching this, too. So perhaps you break it apart. Again, here's all the new money, you know, item one. 1A is, you know, the DIRA. 2 is the Volkswagen. 3 is the STEP. Just a suggestion. But this 1.1, although I've heard it referred to as 1.2, are those dollars grant dollars of that 10%, or are these monies that you all have to find to fill this?
So in both cases, these would be, so in item one, these are funds that, for the DIRA funds, it's funds that we have been told are coming. So
a grant will pay for the...
A grant, we will get a contract from US EPA to provide those funds. That is what this is accepting. And in the first case, for the VW money, we have put a number that is 1/3 of the total funding. And we will come back to the board to let you know.
So these are grant dollars paying for these positions. That's
correct.
That's
correct.
Great. Thank you.
Correct.
Yes.
Director Hudson.
I'm really impressed. Everybody hit just about every point. I like the way you presented this because I've been on enough committees with Karen that I know she's going to call you on it. But that's a good thing. I mean, you just got some really good feedback from a subcommittee, how to present it to a full committee, and this isn't going to end here. All you're really talking about is money coming in, and we're getting to the real issue is what Director Canepa brought up, and that is 8 full-time employees. That's what we're really discussing here, and I see it as an opportunity. If you've got 8 full-time employees, and we've talked about 15%, but you have, that's only from one source. You have the other 3 coming in, plus other things, and this monumental program that I see is completely different in 617 and how you're going to make this thing work. And I would have suggested, until I was beat to it, to send this to personnel, and after personnel has a look at it, I know Jim's going to say, all right, we got to look at the full scope. So we're back to what Director Canepa was just talking about. I see this as an opportunity to start bringing in new people before other people leave. I mean, that's a difficult thing to do. I'm looking at it in my city, and I'm going, we're going to mess this up. You just hire a bunch of new people. You don't have anybody around to train. And you're going, oh, I wished I'd done this a couple of years before. So to me, when we get to exec, I really hope that's the overarching thing that we're looking at. What is the five-year, and, you know, stop me if you can right there, guys, but what is the five-year plan for when Director Haggerty's the only one here?
Funny. Term limit's going to get you? I know, I got him. Director Jew.
Thank you. And you know, I just want to bring this back to, you know, this is a positive step in the right direction, right? We're receiving money here from the VW settlement, and the great work of staff has allowed us to get this DARA grant, which is putting us in this position to kind of expand what we do here in the Air District. So I want to congratulate staff on that. And I mean, I think the staffing question is the one where we're getting a lot of discussion on, and I think it's always challenging because we don't get to control when the money is received. And so ideally, we would have loved to have received the money during our normal budgeting process when we're having these staffing conversations, and we're kind of in this position where it's after the fact. And but I didn't want to lose sight that this is actually a good thing, that this isn't anything intentional by staff, but something that is just a matter of course of when everything was timed. But I think the one thing I would caution, similar echoing most of the board members here, is, you know, that transition plan when you receive and fund positions solely by grants is usually pretty tricky. And, you know, we have several departments within the city and county of San Francisco where, you know, there are fully grant-funded positions, and you never want to see those people go away because you could be losing talent. And so that transition of what you were talking about, Damian, around the attrition and how you plan and over the 10 years while you do have that funding, and if you're able to show that to the board of like, just based on our normal attrition pattern, based on how long this funding is going to last for, how that could take the place and allow these staff to remain on board, I think is going to be key for that discussion. So.
Okay, so with that, on a motion by Cutter, seconded by Mitchoff, is there any objection to the motion? Motion passes without objection. Public comment on non-agenda items? Committee member comments? Next time and place.
Yes.
What?
Yeah, if I may, under committee comments, I got my agenda fairly early. I just want to reiterate something that the chair has said several times. It's we want to hold the meetings in this room. My agenda has us across the hall. And
you've got a follow-up email.
Yeah, but I'm here all the time. I don't get emails. I just want to stress that point. Anytime, whatever it takes, this stationary source and exec, I think, is really important. And I think the conversation today truly reiterates that.
Apologies about that. The Air Resources Board were supposed to hold a meeting here because it was within the 72-hour window. We just posted at the door and at the other location to send folks here.
Well, that's really cool. But they could go to the Yerba Buena Island, the Yerba Buena room next time. Okay, so with that, this is our room. We pay the rent. Thank you. So we're adjourned until September 20th, tentatively scheduled for 9:30 in this room. We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah.